Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's the Geeks On catch-up episode. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Geeks On.
Yes.
You will notice there is no Hello My Geeklings this week. Because, yes, there's a large presence missing from the room that is Don Marshall, because he is off in video game land, utterly swamped.
Yes. We decided to get another episode out.
Yes.
That otherwise, we're just never going to get him out.
So, the promise for this episode, because Don is not here,
is less interrupting of Pete.
Well, that too. No, I will not make that promise. But is that the show will not be funny.
Right. We're going to just cut that out.
Funny is gone from the show because Don is not here. So from now on, if you just want boring talking about geeky shit,
you've come to the right place.
That's what we're going to do right
okay,
now.
Okay,
right.
So now we're going to talk about video games.
Excellent. But my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Pete Robinson. I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
That's right. And this is a strange episode.
Yes.
Because we don't have a theme besides that it's our catch-up episode.
We are so far behind.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been able to do enough of these, so we keep seeing movies, we keep playing video games, we keep playing board games. We have been all this stuff that we can't talk about, otherwise our shows are going to be 4 hours long.
Right, so we basically just need to have one big conversation with the audience. Here's what's going on, and then we'll be caught up.
Yeah. So that next time what you've been doing doesn't have to be an hour and a half long.
Right. Speaking of which, everyone needs to go to Edinburgh. Every last geek in the world needs to go to Edinburgh.
Why? Is it a geeky place per se, or are you just saying everybody in the world has to?
Well, I don't know how to describe it. It's not just that it's a geeky place. It's that Edinburgh, to me, feels like the entrance to Narnia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's this amazingly old city on top of sort of an amazingly new city. Like, I found out the first skyscrapers were in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. But because it's ostensibly a city on a hill, and because it's Europe, you know, old, you know, new gets kept on getting built on top of old, mm-hmm. that they're, the skyscrapers, which originally were like 10 to 12 stories, 13 stories, are now underground. So they have certain skyscrapers in the building that only look like 2 to 3 stories above ground, mm-hmm. but you can actually go on tours that go down into the sort of skyscraper underneath of Edinburgh.
You know, these old cities that are built upon other, I mean, they found some crazy shit. There are all these kind of city, like urban splunketers, I don't know how you call them.
Right.
That go underground and explore all these old, ancient cities.
What's
underneath
that? Isn't there a National Geographic show that's the guy who just goes underground?
Yes,
you know?
There is. I haven't seen that. I've seen the ads for it. But
there is a name for these people. They have a name that they call what they do, and I can't remember what it is.
Urban spelunkers.
Yeah, but
that's not it.
No. But in Europe, it's crazy. They're finding some crazy shit underneath there. And in fact, even when I was in Greece, they were building, adding on to their subway, their mm-hmm. underground subway. And it's taking them forever because they keep having to stop. Because every time they dig another 100
feet. That's right.
Feet,
didn't they when they were digging the subway for the Athens Olympics, they found like all of those
They keep finding
ruins
ancient, and some of them are hollow. They open up into like a room.
See, that's awesome.
And they have to stop. It becomes now a site. They have to turn the direction of the dig and then shoot the subway going another direction.
The Grecian subway, the most zigzag in all of Europe.
So it's taking them forever, but it's pretty cool.
What would be freaking awesome about that, though, would be if you're on the subway and as you go along, it's
you
like
see
this
the
glass, you the glass window. Yeah,
see, like,
well, they kind of do that because the stations underneath mm-hmm. open up into glass, and you can see the stuff they're uncovering from right there.
Okay. That's
but it would be cool if you're going through ancient like exactly. temples and shit as like holy shit.
It's like when they do the Simpsons where they always go underground in the Simpsons and you see they like do a striated effect of everything that happens underground. So they always pass through Springfield. You can see like who's buried where. And... yeah, Jimmy Hoffa. But anyway, I was in Edinburgh for the screening of my film. Now you guys have heard this a bit, but I was there for the screening of my film, Kreutzer Sonata. And
Available on
like, no when, not when not available it? Yet
it's, come on
it's it, that's what we were in Europe to get okay. is distribution there and now right. I think they're doing a South American thing and then hopefully I'll get to go and then we'll be doing one in the United States to get three stages of distribution
okay
or they'll just get it in Europe and then we'll be done right. But nonetheless I was there and we had our you can actually check it out at madking.blogspot.com if you want to read the whole blog about the Edinburgh trip but the first night that we actually screen the film we go in we check it out and people love the film which I was amazed at I'm like wincing my way through the film and that people loved it and then this voice comes out of the crowd when we're doing the Q&A and goes I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the film and there's a wonderful ensemble quality to everything and I'm like wow that guy really sounds like Sean Connery. And then I hear, and Danny, I just wanted to say that when I worked with your father years ago, he would be very proud of this effort. And I hear Danny Houston to my right go, thanks, Sean. And I I totally held my cool in, but it was a save. It was a very, very close save.
You saved. You made
and
you
I,
save
just, I just kind of looked down and sand shuffled check. My feet a little bit of sand check. But inside I was going, oh, my God, Sean Connery! And, yeah.
So James Bond saw your film?
James Bond saw my film and said awesome. I was cool.
So you passed your save against turning into a Japanese schoolgirl?
Yes. I'm like, no. Yeah.
no, please. James Bond.
It's like a party in my mouth.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yes.
Very cool. Yeah.
Wow. So, James Bond said you're cool. I can't much top that.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah. James Bond.
Okay.
Has anybody seen the new trailer?
Yes. For Quantum of Solace.
Wanted to talk about that. Okay. So the trailer of the new sequel
mm-hmm.
to Casino Royale, which is the first time they've done that.
Yeah.
Is it really the first time? Because Blofeld has been through line. I mean, maybe they're not contiguous.
Well, he's always been fighting, you know.
Spectre.
Smirsch, I mean.
Who came up with the name Smirsch?
I think Smirsch.
Ian Fleming?
Yeah.
Smirsch?
He besmirched his own...
No. I think Smirsch is actually real.
I know. There's all
Isn't
sorts
it?
Of... I don't, I'm not
no,
app.
I have
so.
No idea.
But those aren't sequels. I mean, you know...
But they're, okay, well, they're no, in no, the no, same no, no. world.
Well, let's stop. Let's,
yeah,
let's,
of course.
You're both making a good point. Okay? They are connected, but not... as tightly as this one is. This one picks up right after the last
right.
one ended.
Yeah, like he's just shot the guy and then...
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Mr. White or whatever. Yeah.
Why is it that whenever I turn on TV and they're playing the first movie, it's always the scene where he's getting hit in the nuts and he's naked?
That's because fate is talking to you somehow.
It's driving me nuts.
I don't know.
I've
never seen that.
As I said, not funny.
So what did you think of the trailer?
I thought the trailer was awesome.
Really? Because I thought it was kind of average. I didn't see anything that... It just looked like kind of random action. I didn't see anything interesting in the action yet.
It had the same feel of the first film.
That I will give you.
True.
And what I love about it is I love they're actually giving James Bond a character arc again, yep. which they have not done. Typically,
what
James
did
Bond
you feel like his character arc was?
Well, I mean, they make it pretty clear. They say, look, you know, I think you're getting emotional about this. You're getting emotionally invested. This is personal to you. And it cannot be personal when you're going to be a spy. And he says, I promise you it's not personal, but yet you can kind of tell it is.
Huh.
And I just think that's great. I'm really
fascinated
to see him dealing with this.
They did that with License to Kill. Everyone's going to scream at us that we can't knock these off straight out. But remember when he goes rogue in one of the crap James Bond films where Felix Leiter
gets killed, gets offed, yeah. This is the Timothy Dalton one.
And he throws his badge away and he says, I'm going to go. They try to do that, and it was a total disaster.
Someone who can act.
I think Dalton can act.
He totally can act.
That was a crap movie.
But the actor, right now they've got what seems to me to be very good screenwriters.
Yes.
Very good directors and an amazing fucking actor playing the role.
I'm excited about this next one. I have to say. I mean, the trailer didn't quite do it for me, but I still have not lost faith.
I have to say, after having written with Pete, and written by myself now. He's still writing by himself. Yeah, right. But I'm realizing really lately how important the screenwriting is, especially after reading the first 15 damn pages of the real Indiana Jones script.
Okay. All right, should we move on to that?
Let's move on to that.
Now, wait a minute. So, is this legit?
It's legit.
This script is legit.
Has it been vetted?
This is Frank Darabont wrote a script. This is the story I've heard.
Okay.
Frank Darabont wrote a draft of Indiana Jones.
Right.
Now, and he wrote what else?
Darabont is the guy who did The Green Mile. He did Shawshank Redemption, which was fantastic.
Shawshank Redemption is one of my favorite films, yes.
Okay.
So I read the whole script.
Okay.
Okay.
I read the first 15 pages and was so happy with it that I had to put it down because I didn't want to be happy with it. I wanted to be like, oh, well, everything else was such a piece of shit.
All right, so you read the whole thing.
I read the whole thing. Now, I do have some problems with it.
Okay, and how different is it from what we saw?
Well, what someone said when they sent it to us is they said, what's interesting about this is that you get to see all these things that were in Indiana Jones.
Right.
That didn't make any sense and were completely horrible, but now you see it and it makes complete sense and it works very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in Indiana Jones, one of the problems that we were talking about was when Marion... comes into the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
she's not her. Not Marion.
She's not Marion at all.
A, she's not Marion. And B, early on, we know that they're together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this film, you know, that is not the case, the way it's written. She comes in. She is the person that she was. Mm-hmm. She's fantastically written. and you don't know that they're going to be together until the very last minute of the film. And it's a big character beat.
When it happens. Okay.
Okay. The second big thing is they make Indiana Jones have a great deal of character that he goes through, and he's Indiana Jones. He has all the same problems that are always happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's written...
Like what?
Well, remember how we talked about... Well, they did. One of the things they did was they made Indiana Jones be older.
Right.
And he can't do some of the stuff he used to be able to do.
That's right. Awesome.
Okay.
See, he acted just as like he did when he was young in this one.
Yeah.
There was no point where he's like, oh, shit, I can't.
No.
I pulled my back swinging the whip.
Yeah.
There was none of that.
Well, they didn't quite do that, but they did. He did play up the fact that he's older.
Okay. Yeah,
and
that's great.
Played up the fact that he's changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a part in there where they're walking and Marion goes, Indy. And he goes, what? And she goes, look behind you. You know, and he goes, what? And she goes, there's a snake. And he goes, oh. And he grabs the snake by the neck, and he tosses it off into the woods. And he goes, well, come on. You know, I got over that a while ago. And then, of course, you know. So, I mean, it's like, he's like, you know, people change, you know. It's like, you know.
So that's great, too.
You know, that would have been neat.
You know. And
But you're saying that it's just the details? It's essentially the same thing.
No. I'm saying that whoever wrote the second one didn't know what they were doing.
Well, the rumor is that it was Lucas, but I mean, I don't like just blaming George Lucas for everything purely because he's responsible for my childhood.
The rumor was that Spielberg was very happy with this draft and wanted to make it.
And as was Harrison Ford. Yeah,
and that Lucas didn't like it and made them change it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to guess that they probably did. This draft did not have the sun in it. Okay.
Whoa.
Nice. What?
So, really?
Yes. So, I'm going to guess that was what the change was, that Lucas was like, well, we need to keep this a franchise.
Well, the thing that I saw that was very interesting was that I saw an interview recently with Lucas where he said, I could very easily see another movie coming along.
Yeah, we saw that.
Although, I'm not sure whether or not Harrison Ford will be the lead in it. I can totally see an Indiana Jones where Shia LaBeouf takes over. And that's exactly what he said.
He is out of his damn mind. Because that boy is not Indiana Jones at all.
Yeah.
You know how
period.
No, he's Mutt Jones.
P period. It doesn't matter. There is nothing intriguing about the version of him running around in the 50s getting... It's just not as a pulp character.
Right.
There's nothing good about that.
They also did not have the sword-fighting woman... Russian.
Okay.
Who replaced
her?
Who
was the bad guy?
There were a couple bad guys. There was a South American dictator. There was also a Russian, you know, one of the big bad guys.
But there wasn't like a main person. It seems like
there was a main person. There was a Russian spy, you know,
okay.
who is also a fellow archaeologist. Also, when they run into Marion is married to an archaeologist as well, who's very Indiana Jones-like, but is, you know, like Lithuanian or something.
See, that's great, too.
Because she's
married. I mean, yeah. You can't...
And this guy gets in a fist fight with Indy and holds his own.
You know, yeah, like, see, that's great, too.
And so it was fantastic, you know. So, but...
Because, you know, essentially it was Mommy and Daddy running around instantly they met.
Yeah.
It's like, Mom and Dad are now going to fight adventures together, which is fucking stupid. That is, like, conflict. Like, yeah. He's got... His girl's been taken. The dude is almost Indiana Jones straight out. In fact, he can hold his own. I mean, that's awesome.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was really...
Maybe I'll read it.
You should definitely read it. Oh, now, yeah. One of the things, though, is... By the way, you've heard that that there's a new phrase for jump the shark now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called nuke the fridge.
Nuke
for when, you know...
Oh.
I do gotta say that was still in the script. But it wasn't...
Did the fridge fly 4 million miles away and he got out of it?
See, I was kind of okay with him, maybe.
If he got in the fridge and the fridge was, like, hermetically... We said this.
Yeah. You know, I'm fine with bending reality and people are like, oh, please, you can't survive a blah, blah, you know, nuclear thing in the fridge. I'm okay with saying that, but it's like, oh, you can't fly 300 miles in the air and land in a freezer. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
But let's talk about a couple things. First of all, at the beginning of the film... It's about the theft of a crystal skull from an army base.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reference to the fact that it's an alien or any concept that it's an alien.
Okay.
There's no area, you know, whatever.
See, the Area 51 automatically gives you it off. You already know it's an alien.
There wasn't any of that, and there was no way you could have guessed that it was an alien until the very end of the film.
Oh, okay. Another great...
Where you figured it out, and it was very cool. Second of all, when they follow the crystal skull to the... they're looking for what's called the City of Gods, which is this mythical place where when you get there, it makes all your wishes come true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Were there archaeological mysteries within the context of the film? Because that was one of my biggest complaints, was that Indy didn't have to figure out anything but one mystery and a frickin' teeter-totter.
There were a lot of things that Indy had to figure out, but it wasn't so much archaeological, per se.
Hmm.
There's a very clever bit where a guy comes to kill Indy, right? And Indy finds... Indy, you know, defeats the guy, and he searches the guy's pockets, and he finds a key to a locker. And he goes to the locker, and he finds, you know, this crystal skull in the locker, plus some other stuff, that leads him to this guy's hotel room. And when he's there, people show up and think that he's the guy. Mm-hmm. And so he just pretends to be the guy and follows them down to South America. You know, they say, you gotta go down to South America and bring the skull here and all this stuff.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it was really clever that, you know, they thought he was the guy just because he was in the room. They didn't know anybody. But there was a lot of cleverness to the story, but it wasn't, you know, the closest they came to the archaeological mystery was Indiana Jones takes pictures of the, what do they call the big giant,
Oh yeah.
Sand. Yeah, they still used it in
the Aztec shapes, the spider, and the only ones that you can be seen from above.
Right,
and he also figures out that these are these tell you how to get where you're going, but it's not the way they did it in the film.
In the film, he had all of the information, and he spent 15 minutes giving the dissertation on Aztec history and then went and did it.
In this film, he's trying to figure out what these are clues to. So, like, they'll be walking through the woods. You know, they know they've got to go to this certain area because what's his name? Oxley, you know, escaped and says it's approximately in this area. But they'll be walking through the film and they go, oh, this five-pointed thing actually stands for these five mountains that if you take the peaks...
Oh, I see. So there is some figuring it out. So he's being an archaeologist. Like, he's the expert that can only figure it out.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, there's another thing that's cool about it, though, which is Actually, this is one of the things I did not like in the film, but I in the script, but I thought was it made a lot more sense at least than what they did
In the film.
In the film, which is
Shia LaBeouf can swing through trees because he's cybernetic.
Well, no, not that. But it's that as they get closer and closer to the City of Gods, reality gets more and more warped. So animals are bigger than they should be. Dragonflies are, you know, like the size of an eagle.
Huh.
Okay. So that is what I know. I thought that was lame, but it explains why there are ants in this one that are like, because the ants are huge. They're the size of your fist. And so it wasn't just some random bullshit. In this film, it was like, you know, these things have been altered by reality in some way so that it made sense.
Right.
And that's why Shia could swing through the trees and branches the way he did? Or did they have that in the script?
That kid doesn't exist.
Or that he didn't have in the script. Of course
they also had a version of that. Okay. But it also made sense, which is Oxley, who has been sort of altered by being there, he goes swinging through the trees. But he's altered. He's not human. He's different. Indiana Jones tries to follow him, but you know, it's Indiana Jones like, whoa, you know, like swinging on vines and like, you know, falling and shit. You
right.
know, it's not like unrealistic.
I would have cut that out.
Yeah, I would have cut that out too.
Well, it's 140 pages. I would have cut there's quite a few things I probably would have cut out.
First of all, swinging on vines is fucking 1930 bullshit. I mean, no
Buster
one wants
Crab.
To see that shit anymore.
Buster Crab. Oh. Yeah.
The point is not to say that this script would have been a perfect Indiana Jones film.
Right,
it certainly would not have been.
Although, wait a second. Doesn't Chewbacca swing... In Return of the Jedi, doesn't he swing from a vine down on top of onto the Imperial Walker?
Probably.
And go,
yeah.
Anyway.
He's got a thing for
it. Now, I also heard the ending had a moral choice for Indiana Jones, unlike the total non-ending of this last one.
So basically, you finally get into this place, and by the way, there are no, like, funky native guys that are like, you know,
emerging from the walls.
No,
and
there's none of that shit. Like, you know,
Untaka, we're gonna have to build the brick wall again. And we busted out of it incorrectly.
Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, no, there's none of that shit. But what happens is they finally get to this pyramid and they go inside it, and you slowly begin to realize that this place is really sophisticated technology inside of it. And you're going, what the fuck is going on? And you get inside to the crystal skulls, and basically, you know, there's 13 different skeletons, and when they put the head on one of them, it brings sort of this alien back to life. Now, not the...
Well, that's kind of what they did.
Hang on.
Yeah, but...
Hang on. Huh? Not the skeleton coming back to life, but there's another alien sitting across from it. These aliens that are desiccated come up out of the ground, and as it's sitting across from the skull, it starts to come back to life and become a real alien. So it's not like this skeleton just suddenly forms into an alien.
Okay.
It's somehow the power, by putting this back in here, it brings this other alien that's in sort of hibernation back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it explains...
Just a key. It's not actually the skeleton of an alien.
Well, it is the skeleton of an alien, but it is
a key tag.
But what's interesting about it is that what they sort of start to explain is that these aliens came down and were theoretically helping humanity evolve in exchange for being fed. And what they show you is all the sacrifices that happened back in the day. When they killed them, the aliens were sucking the energy out of the dying people.
Okay,
so. Our four of the team are basically asking, you know, are having a choice being made where they're being offered anything they want. Ultimate power, ultimate knowledge, all these different things. And Indiana Jones, you know, who obviously wants to know things too, has to make the same choice. So he's sitting next to Marion's husband. Marion's husband makes a choice for ultimate knowledge.
No.
And you can tell he wants to make the same choice because he's very similar. They're very similar people. But ultimately, he rips his eyes away and turns to Marion and chooses her. Okay? And so when all these terrible things start happening to the people that have made their choices, because their choices, you know, they get them...
You chose poorly.
Yeah, pretty much that type of stuff starts happening. it doesn't happen to him.
Hmm.
And then basically one
So his choice is her, but he doesn't ask the alien. He's willing to walk away
exactly.
and say,
he's willing, he doesn't
I
ask the
just
alien.
Rather would leave with you
yes.
than...
He, by pulling his eyes away from the alien, you know, it doesn't happen to him. Now, the alien basically steals the life force out of these people, starts coming back to life, and then basically goes after Oxley to take his life too. And Indiana Jones shoots the fucking alien and kills it. You know, which is freaking awesome. I wish I could remember the line. It was actually a pretty good line that Indiana Jones had. Oh, yeah, he goes, he's like, hey, you, welcome to Earth. Blam! Yeah, like, he shoots its head off, you know, and then saves Oxley. They go running out, and then, you know. But,
interesting.
But so it's not, to say what I was going to say before, the Darabont version is not a perfect film.
Uh-huh.
It's got things that, you know, I would have cut. But it's got moments that are so fantastic. The first 60 pages or so have so much great Indiana Jones-isms.
Right.
And they do such great stuff with character in mm-hmm. terms of him dealing with what's happening in his life. He's a human being. He's not, like, you know...
Right. He's not a superhero.
He's not a superhero. He's a human being.
So how did this get out? Is there a rumor how this thing got released?
Did no. Frank Darabont go?
No, but
you know what?
That Frank is pissed
that it's been released. Get out?
No, he's pissed that Lucas basically.
Well, he was pissed 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. He was. Yeah.
There's a rumor that he's pissed because he.
Yeah, he's gotten over that now.
He did really good work, and then you know Lucas destroyed. Now this I've seen this happen before.
Yeah, that's the first time that's happened in Hollywood.
Yeah, well I saw it happen with Catwoman too. I have a friend that wrote.
Oh, Catwoman. Let's
that's
not even go
draft
there.
Of that. And, you know, it's the way it always works. Everybody's satisfied except for the guy at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't like it, so instead he, you know, destroys it.
Cue right. Don funny comment about Catwoman here.
Yeah. See? All right. What's next on our we got to talk about it list?
Well, don't we have a little news?
We should hit some news right. and then come back and then do some freeform geeks on.
I thought we were already doing that.
Right.
All right. Let's do some news, then.
All right. So did you guys hear... sorry. Say it again.
Cue the music.
Did you hear about this thing where Google has to divulge their entire YouTube blogs?
They have to what?
Divulge the whole of their YouTube blogs.
To Viacom. Because of a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Their blogs?
YouTube? No, their logs.
The
L-O-G.
Logs. Basically, they have to divulge all the user data of everyone that watches and uploads and down... And everything that people watch and upload to...
Yeah. Google must divulge the viewing habits of every user who has ever watched any video on YouTube. A U.S.
On
court...
On Google Video.
No.
On YouTube.
They own YouTube now.
YouTube.
Yeah.
They do?
They do.
Yeah, this is old news.
Yeah, this is old news. This is where I...
Why do they have Google Video?
If I was saying this, you would be mocking me at this point. So consider yourself mocked.
Okay.
The ruling comes as a part of Google's legal battle with Viacom over allegations of copyright infringement. Digital rights group, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, called the ruling a setback to privacy rights. The viewing log, which will be handed to Viacom, contains the login ID of users, the computer IP address, and video clip details.
This is Viacom
getting all of this stuff, yes. While the legal battle between the two firms is being contested in the U.S., it's thought that the ruling will apply to YouTube users and their viewing habits everywhere. Viacom, which owns MTV and Paramount, has alleged that YouTube is guilty of massive copyright infringement. The U.K.'s Premier League Association...
It is, but it's also making your shows popular, you fucking jackasses, and your music, your shit pieces of crap music that you shove on us. The little kids are putting, you know, dancing to it, and they're actually using it. Fucktards.
When it initiated legal action in March 2007, Viacom said that it had identified about 160,000 unauthorized clips of its programs on the website, which had been viewed more than 1.5 billion times. Following the launch of its billion-dollar lawsuit, YouTube introduced filtering tools in an effort to prevent copyrighted materials from appearing on the site. The U.S. court declined Viacom's request that Google be forced to hand over the source code of YouTube, saying that it was a trade secret and should not be disclosed. But it said privacy concerns expressed by Google about handling over the log were speculative.
speculative. Google senior litigation counsel Catherine Lacavera said in a statement, "We are disappointed the grand court that the court granted Viacom's overreaching demand for viewing history. We will ask Viacom to respect users' privacy and allow us to anonymize the logs before producing them under the court's order. The ruling will see the viewing habits of millions of YouTube users given to Viacom, totaling more than 12 terabytes of data. Viacom said it wanted the data to compare the attractiveness of allegedly infringing video with that of non-infringing videos."
So Viacom wants to see if this is actually a good business tool.
Right.
Fuck them.
Yes, exactly. That's it's like, give us this shit so we can find out whether or not.
So they're not even or they're claiming they're not necessarily going to go bust anybody. They just want to see if
it's worthwhile, and they want
it's like who's viewing what,
right?
And they want numbers based on
it's one gigantic worm, you know, like a worm, you know, when it sort of worms in your program and it can find out who's sending videos where and why and who.
Oh, come on, these people are out of control. It's and did they get so? Well, as a judge,
yeah, and they have to give it over now.
That's insanity.
Yeah. So, leading privacy expert Simon Davies told BBC News that the privacy of millions of YouTube users was threatened. He said, "The chickens have come home to roost for Google. Their arrogance and refusal to listen to friendly advice has resulted in the privacy of tens of millions being placed under threat." Mr. Davies said that privacy campaigners had warned Google for years that IP addresses were personally identifiable information. Google pledged last year to anonymize IP addresses for search information, but it had said nothing about YouTube data. Mr. Davies said, "Governments and organizations are realizing that companies like Google have a warehouse full of data, and while that data is stored, it is under threat of being used and putting privacy in danger." The EFF said the court's erroneous ruling is a setback to privacy rights and will allow Viacom to see what you are watching on YouTube. "We urge Viacom to back off this overbroad request and Google to take all steps necessary to challenge this order and protect the rights of users."
Maybe they just...
No, they've been ordered to do it. So, I mean, I don't know whether or not there's an appeal process they can do, but they have been ordered to do it.
These big businesses are really trying to horn in on the internet and take it over. And right now, the internet is owned by us, and it's getting harder and harder to keep that true.
Mm-hmm. They're really... Well, the things that are interesting is they're really trying to charge you now for your download and upload usage, the internet providers.
Which they started back in the day. You had to pay for your, you know, bandwidth originally, and then that didn't work.
Yep. And this is, by the way, it's a model that's used in Australia. I mean, it's used in other places around the world where you pay for how much you use. But so that's one thing that they're going to...
This is America, damn it!
You know, the reason why, you know, the internet's thriving in America because of the way it is.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have the restrictions, so that's why...
Yeah. Did you guys get that video I sent you guys on net neutrality?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but it was...
We'll see. There's a great image I have on my hard drive that's floating around the web, and it basically says, you know, when you order channels for your TV,
mm-hmm.
and if you want, like, HBO and stuff, it's like, you know, this much more. If you want this, it's like this much more.
Right.
And basically, it's set up just like that, except that it's got, like, you know, YouTube, blah, 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 blah. Only $49.95.
Yeah,
or
it's bullshit.
Without YouTube, you can get this, you know,
it's
for $39.95.
Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't cost the fucking internet companies any more money. They're charging for something that costs them nothing.
Well, no, it costs them. It cost the
whether I'm downloading YouTube or I'm uploading a big file from my work... It's the same fucking data.
Oh, no. You're right. But the point is that that sites that you that transmit lots of bandwidth are obviously going to be more expensive than say.
Yeah,
a
but
site
I'm
that doesn't.
Paying like right now. I'm paying for bandwidth. They've given me the bandwidth, so mm-hmm.
that is
why
what,
now charge?
No, you're not paying for bandwidth. You're paying for speeds.
Okay, that's true. But that's true. But
the point is, if you're paying for speed, paying for speed is another way of paying for bandwidth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, when you're slow, there's no reason, you know, to
right.
So we're already paying for bandwidth.
But that's what exactly. But that's what net neutrality is that we've paid for X speed. You've paid for X speed. We should both be allowed.
But they also want to. They also want to be able to control and charge for what you're using it for. They want to know what you're using it for and charge appropriately, which is total bullshit.
They shouldn't have any clue what we're using, but I'll bet they do anyway. Now Comcast is interesting because Comcast has already kind of broken net neutrality. Comcast basically
what they promised. They promised after these laws are passed they would never do such a thing. Are you saying big business is lying to us?
Yeah, right. You know, Comcast has already broken net neutrality because basically when people were using peer-to-peer sites, what they would do is they would put a little extra data into the downloads
the stream.
The stream that would cause downloads to end prematurely.
Oh.
And they would just do it, you know.
That's fucked up. I mean, that's suable. Well, in my opinion, if I paid for something to work for, like if I was transferring files for my business, and I found out they were and I had paid them money and they were fucking up my business, I would sue them for all the time I lost.
No,
I mean, imagine a big corporation who's trying to use that as a business.
It's interesting. They have no idea whether or not you were using that for business. Maybe you should sue them.
Oh yeah.
All right.
God damn it.
Hit it.
You got a news story?
I do. Would just like to talk about the lost footage of Metropolis.
That
surfaced.
The Fritz Lang?
The Fritz Lang movie Metropolis. Apparently, back in the day, there was a long version that was screened. The audience, they showed in front of, you know, some people. It was a complete disaster. So they cut out like a half hour of it.
Is the part that has Wookiees in it? And
yeah, exactly. Swinging vines.
Ewoks. Swinging vines, Ewoks.
So they cut out a half hour of it, and they started showing that piece all around. And that's pretty much what has survived.
Huh.
And no one's been able to find the footage.
Huh.
It's been gone. So recently, in Argentina, in like a little museum where somebody had one of the first copies of the piece, they've got it. Now, it's messed up. So they're saying it might take up to 2 years to restore the whole thing because they have to scan each frame in and clean it
up.
Have
you seen the newly restored Metropolis? It's fantastic. It's, I mean, because they did this with the old version.
I'm waiting for the
HD quality.
I'm waiting for the new
bonus
25 minutes.
Right.
But anyway.
He swings on vines, Aaron.
Anyway, it's not a hoax. They are planning on restoring it, and everyone's really excited. I believe, though, there's still about, they think, about 5 minutes missing from the original cut.
Hmm.
The absolute original. But come on. You know, this is pretty good. And anyway, it flushes out one of the characters that apparently a storyline, one of the characters, so it makes a little more sense.
Very cool.
But it puts it up at like 2.5 hours.
Does Flory know about this, Peter?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
You should tell Flory. He would be very excited.
Yes. Anyway.
All right, so my news story falls into that category of the Japanese sometimes do very fucked up things.
So, All right.
You're both going to hell.
I'm all Asian, right. I'm allowed.
She is big busted, petite, very friendly, and she runs on batteries.
Nice.
Yeah. A Japanese firm has produced a 15-inch tall robotic girlfriend that kisses on command.
No fucking way.
To go on sale in September for around $175.
That's it?
With a target market of lonely adult men.
Okay, now is it 175?
She's very tiny. She's just a doll, basically. She's not. She's 15.
Well, you could get as much.
Like Aibo.
You could get as much play from kissing a Barbie.
No.
That looks like Aibo, that little dog.
Didn't say she had to be attractive, my friend.
So, Sega's new Eternal Maiden actualization robot enters love mode when a human head gets close.
Get some social skills!
And she puckers up for nearby human heads.
Stop inventing shit and go out and talk to people.
This is Sega who invented it?
Wow.
Strong, tough, and battle-ready are some of the words often associated with robots. But we wanted to break the stereotype and provide a robot that's sweet and interactive.
Sega!
They say of her, She's very lovable. And though she's not human, she can act like a real girlfriend.
Ah! That's the size of Ibo the dog.
She can also
hang out. Hey, man, Thumbelina was hot.
Actually, it even looks like Ibo.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Ibo.
She can also hand out business cards, sing and dance.
She can hand out business cards?
Yep.
I wonder if it does it in the whole, like, business card ritual.
Yes.
Sega is hoping to sell 10,000 in the first year.
What, they're expecting to sell 10,000?
Hoping to sell 10,000 in the first year.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Oy vey.
So,
and they probably will.
Yeah. My God, Cyberpunk is, like, this close.
Oh, please. We're already there. Got Second Life.
These clothes.
Hey, if you think that's fucked up, wait till you get my next news story.
All right. So this is also along the lines of Cyberpunk is this close. A snip from an article in today's New York Times with a nifty little slideshow about a slew of designers and firms that are developing new models of airships. These passenger-carrying aircraft float on wind rather than being propelled solely by fuel.
You mean blimps?
They are blimps. They are absolutely blimps. As the cost of fuel soars and the pressure mounts to reduce carbon dioxide emissions, several schemes for a new generation of airship are being considered by governments and private companies. It's a romantic project, said Mr. Massoud, 45, sitting amidst furniture designs in his Paris studio. But then look at Jules Verne. It has been more than 70 years since the giant Hindenburg Zeppelin exploded in a spectacular fireball over Lakehurst, New Jersey, killing 36 crew members and passengers, abruptly ending an earlier age of airships. But because of new materials and sophisticated means of propulsion, a diverse cast of entrepreneurs is taking another look at the behemoths of the air.
So it's going to take, what, 20 days to get to Atlanta from L.A.? I mean,
but it
on.
Will be very pretty along the way.
I wonder how long did it take for the Hindenburg and things like that to travel?
I don't know what the top speed of a blimp is, but for God's sake, it can't be.
Oh, well, here we go. Mr. Massoud, as a designer of hotels in California and a stadium in Mexico, has not ironed out the technical details, nor has he found financiers or corporate backers for his project to create a 690-foot Zeppelin shaped like a whale with a luxury hotel attached that he has named the Manned Cloud.
So you can sleep. So you can just go there and
you
sleep.
You just go there in the hotel along the way.
That's kind of
freaky. And
you
wake.
Imagine?
That would be awesome, man. You go to your hotel room. You can chill out. You do your business along the way. There's Wi-Fi. You have the conference.
No
and
one's
you land in.
That would have to be a vacation thing.
Hmm.
I mean, if you're going to go on a business trip, your business is going to pay you to get there and back, not take 20 days to.
Yeah, but on a vacation thing, I mean, it's a way of getting someplace and maybe having a little more time to acclimate to the time change.
It'll be like a
cruise ship.
It would be pretty freaking attractive to be flying over the ocean like that. You know,
that would be awesome.
Aaron?
This is a little quick.
Actually, a quick thing. What was I going to say? Oh, did you guys hear that the U.S. government wanted to put a moratorium on new solar plants on land? Recently, they were saying we have to wait and see what the environmental impacts would be of trying to put all these solar plants on public land. At which point, the American populace basically said, in a collective yell of "What the fuck!" and basically inundated them with emails, at which point they said, okay, we're going to back away from that because that was totally...
They're okay with all the other bullshit drilling
and
all that.
You know, drilling offshores, that sounds, you know, like it might be a good idea.
That's totally fine.
Put a whole bunch of mirrors.
Yeah.
It's going to destroy the...
Right.
Okay.
I cannot remember where I saw this, but it was a government, I believe, in Europe or China where they were going to start... Having people, when they created new buildings or if they had open workable space on their roofs, to put in solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they became more and more useful, to connect them to the power grid. And then if you reached a level that was over what your building required to use, you could sell that power back to the
somebody,
power company.
I know
it
somebody.
Works that way.
It already works that
yeah,
way.
I know okay. somebody
in the United States too. Yeah,
yeah. Here, I know somebody up in Malibu who gets enough. They sell back to the grid.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, I just don't understand why we. I mean, here.
It's well,
like
here
we
it
are,
would be
we
perfect.
Are like 100% sunshine.
It just needs to be cheaper. Like if you can cover, like if I could cover my entire roof. Mm-hmm. So every inch of it is collecting.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be awesome, but I can't afford that right now. Yeah. So that needs to
happen. This had to do with cheaper materials. I'll look up the news story. I'll bring it back.
Solar panels are already... the problem is solar panels are more expensive to use than gas.
Right.
Although... Who knows in the near future the way gas prices have been going up.
Right. Are they a petroleum product? Are solar panels a petroleum product?
No, but because they're made out of glass and they're fragile and because they have a lot of, you know, expensive metals and stuff in them, they're fragile and they wear out after a certain time, and so they're difficult to install. That's why there's a new company that's trying to make solar panels that print on tinfoil. Which would reduce the price significantly if it works. And basically, you'd be able to put solar panels up like shingles.
Well, they're also trying to figure out paint.
Solar paint?
Yeah, where paint up something and it somehow...
That would be slick.
By the way, speaking of this, since we're this is the episode to meander, there was a patent put out by Apple to hide a solar panel underneath the iPhone screen.
Right.
You might know mentioned this. It was my news story last week. Oh. Last time.
I think you knew.
Sometimes it's hard to tell if we've talked about the show or outside
The show. Again, this is where you would mock me. Consider yourself mocked.
I still don't think Google owns YouTube, but...
They do.
All right.
You have two people telling you that they do.
All right.
Two geeks.
Everybody, if you want to let Aaron know that Google owns YouTube...
Please send him the link.
At aaron@geekson.com.
Yes.
All right. I just have a quick piece of news, a little board gaming news. Mutant Chronicles. I don't know if you guys know about Mutant Chronicles. It was a board game a long time ago. They've got... I think there's a film coming out now, like a little indie film. There's been role-playing games. Anyway, they're coming out with a new... It was one of those collectible miniature games. Mm-hmm. They've been out. There's a Star Wars version where you buy... It's like the randomly generated cards where you buy a box and you open it up and you hope you get something in there. And you usually get four Luke Skywalkers and you have to sell... I mean, you can't do anything with them. Well, they've decided to change the way... this is Final Fantasy... Fantasy Flight Games. They've decided to change their collectible card games and this product, which isn't out yet, to be what they call a living collectible game, which means that you know exactly what you're buying when you buy the box.
Hmm.
So you can play this game if you like games where you collect miniatures and do tabletop miniature games. But instead of buying boxes with random bullshit in the box, the box will tell you exactly what's in it. So if you want to buy a particular type of army, a la, you know, the Warhammer stuff, this is just like that, but they're pre-painted. You can just buy them, take them out of the box and play them. And the game looks... like it could be fun. I mean,
where's the fun in that?
Well, I don't have time to paint.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
So, you know, I'm waiting for a miniature game that is actually decent sounding where I don't have to paint the miniatures, and that hasn't come up. I don't know.
HeroClix was good for a little while.
I don't like the rules to any of the HeroClix.
Oh, really?
Actually, any of the WizKids games I think are terrible.
Hmm.
Like, they do great component design, including like the pirate ship sailing game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That
the game is atrocious. The component is freaking awesome, including the Star Wars one. Have you seen the little Star Wars?
Yeah, those are neat.
Those were awesome. The game is crap, which is a real drag. So anyway, who knows?
Write new rules, Aaron.
Who knows? Anyway, that's it.
Okay, if you thought the last news story was disturbing,
okay,
I've got one that's even more disturbing.
This is from the Chinese.
Is your girlfriend ugly?
Wow, what were you on a kick? Was it 3 a.m? Were you feeling lonely?
Would you
lonely?
Like to have a more attractive girlfriend?
Peter, well, how would I do that?
Now you can do that by going to photogenicmask.com. Yes, you too can get a photogenic mask that you can then put on your girlfriend's head. Some of the masks even come with larger breasts.
Wait.
What?
So it's a rubber mask of a hot kind of... scary hot chick.
Yeah. Scary plastic
now,
hot chick.
What's really terrifying about
and
this...
And you're supposed to ask your girlfriend to wear it.
Here, could you put this Madame Tussauds Jessica Simpson face on, please?
What's really disturbing is I'm going to show you, if you look carefully about how they put the mask on, it's these ties on the back of your neck that look like some sort of like
bondage mask.
Bondage gimp type thing. But
okay,
but
if your girlfriend is uglier than these freaky masks, you...
But she'll do some crazy shit.
Now, it does come with the big breasts, so...
Aaron, don't like this.
Look at the picture on the left.
This is some scary shit.
Look at the picture on the left there.
Now, it looks like a real doll. If anyone has seen the real doll.
Oh, my God.
This is like a... This is...
Now, that's a woman wearing the mask. If you look carefully at it, it's really a little freaky.
Yeah, no.
Okay, now, the eyes, what? Are they seeing through glass? Because this is eyes green, makeup normal. Model Euro 4, skin tone nude, wig blonde long, eyes green, makeup normal.
I really don't know.
I don't think there's anything normal about this.
So you can order it and you can style it. So you can say, I would like the blonde wig with this type of face, with this type of makeup, and with this color eyes. Yeah. You can customize.
Do you remember the first Batman movie when she wore that mask over her face because the Joker had disfigured her?
Kind of, yeah.
He was the Joker's first girlfriend before he was going for Vicky Vale.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is almost as freaky as that.
They have 5 Asian models.
Wow.
3 European models.
This one kind of looks like Lisa Lasik, but...
she's going to reach you that mic and kill you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, come on. Or
if
actually...
you have a crush on Lisa Lasik, like, this is a way to have your very own Lisa. They've got 2 chest models.
Like, imagine her with brown hair.
With either perky boobs or
saggy
or big bulging boobs, but the one that's a little creepy.
What do you mean? The one that's a little creepy.
Maybe I should say the one that's the most creepy is the anime model.
Oh God, with gigantic eyes.
See, now at least that makes more sense, because if you have like an anime fetish, you tell your girlfriend, "Hey, can you wear this? I've got," and then it's less.
Oh my God.
So they say on their website, photogenic masks have been created for anybody who desires to become a girl quickly and easily.
Euro 3 is kind of hot, I think.
Euro 3. With what color hair?
No, the brunette is, yeah.
Oh, Euro 3 with
Euro 3
hair.
Is actually the most photorealistic, I think.
The perky breast, not... Oh my God, anime one?
That's
Come
what
on.
I was telling you about. And the prices are between $600 and $1,000.
$600,000 euro.
Euro,
yeah, which is $2,000.
Okay, so it says all the Asian ones look the same to me.
You're so doomed. You're so dead.
You're going to hell. We already established that, though.
Oh, man.
Right now, Demon Lord, tell him.
You're going to hell.
Good God.
Yeah.
Even the Demon Lord wouldn't think of that bullshit.
No,
their goal is to create a photogenic, attractive look as far as is possible. A mask that is quick, easy, safe to put on and take off anytime, anywhere for anybody who wants to be a girl, making everybody happy. There you go.
Wow.
That's even freakier. It's like if you get your buddy put on.
That's cyberpunk. That's straight out cyberpunk.
That's like Saw 4 shit.
That is one tick away from just being able to, you know, hey, let me put on my cybernetic mask this morning. Well, because what's the next step? When it becomes articulated. When they start putting little servo motors underneath the skin.
Freaky. Look, yeah. I gotta tell you, I've already seen masks like this that are articulated. It's called plastic surgery.
Right. Okay? That's, yeah. To add along to that, I found a video. It's not new, but it's noteworthy because it shows a dude shooting himself in the chest and not dying. And because it includes mock pizza boxes that are crafted for a robbery enactment on television. And the mock pizzas appear to be made out of palm thatch. Anyway.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
There's palm a guy thatch? Named... Well, he's made a fake robbery in this video. This guy named Richard Davis, who's a former U.S. Marine and one-time pizza delivery guy in Detroit. And he survived a gun shootout. He killed 3 armed robbers when they attacked him during delivery.
So he's going to now recreate this on a video.
No. He went on to develop new forms of concealable body armor using Kevlar. These products are now widely used by the military and law enforcement personnel and private sector folks who have reason to believe they'll be shot. But the video tells a little bit of his life story. But this concealable body armor is really, really awesome, and I think it's the next step from the cyberpunk version where they just implant it underneath your skin.
So what is this implanted in, like a
you can't tell
shirt?
Yeah, you can't see. Maybe it's
I thought you said they like put it in pizza boxes, so you have to carry
pizza. No, he's doing this really fake reenactment of the pizza box of the pizza delivery guy getting hosed down, but he made the pizza boxes. It looks like they're made out of palm thatch, so it's just very weird.
So have you heard of the chest implants for guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
They have ass implants, too.
Yeah, so I was thinking, if you're going to do that, why not tell them to do, like, a Kevlar version of it?
Yeah, why not?
Well, because it's probably a little heavier and...
All right, so...
Slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, but you can stop fucking bullets, dude. Yeah.
but can you imagine... Look, if you put lead... Let's imagine it's as heavy as lead.
Kevlar's not as heavy.
No, Kevlar's
pretty light, actually.
Right. Let's say you put something that's kind of heavy in your chest... We've already seen what happens to big boobs.
Okay? All right, maybe.
Can you imagine?
I'm just saying they need to figure out.
I had bulletproof pecs, but they've kind of fallen down over my stomach. Could you just shoot me down here, please?
Well, I didn't realize, actually, that with plastic surgery that the boobs have to be keep on being redone over the course of your life. It's not just like get it done once and then you're done.
No,
Yeah. Like, you keep on having to go back because you do age, there is sagging,
like,
there is
effect. Having laser corrective eye surgery, it corrects it to what looks good now, and I mean, you know, good for you, and then you keep aging and you have to get glasses. All right. I'm done with news. All my other stuff is just things I've been seeing and playing. And
I got one more.
Yeah, one more, too.
Okay. The economics of nice folks. A basic tenet of economics is that people always behave selfishly. Or as the 18th century philosopher, economist David Hume put it, every man ought to be supposed to be a knave. Well, what people have been doing is they've been looking at economics recently and they've been realizing that a lot of the suppositions we've made in the past don't really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
it's not greed is good?
Well, what they figured out was, for example, when people give blood and they do it for free,
mm-hmm.
they're more likely to have people do it for free than if they offer to pay people. If they offer to pay people, people don't want to go through it. But if they feel good about it, because mm-hmm. it's a charity, they'll do it.
Interesting. Okay?
They also found out that another example is they had this daycare center. And they had a problem where people would sometimes leave their kids longer than they were supposed to. They'd come late. So they said, okay, we need to stop them from doing this. So they started charging people more money if they left their kids late.
Mm-hmm.
The net result, more kids were left late. Because it
gave them opportunities. Like, well, I'm paying
just,
money.
I'll just pay the $20.
I'm paying money for it. Who cares?
Right.
So it's
they started hitting the children with cars, and the lateness stopped.
They keep spanking the kids until the parents show up.
Yes.
So what did they do to solve that?
It doesn't say. It's just giving examples of
Peter.
It's just giving examples of how.
What it sounds like should work is not working.
Yeah, how we don't always behave selfishly.
Right.
Okay. And that economics are typically based on the thought that people will behave selfishly, so obviously there's something wrong with our model.
But is there also mm-hmm. the model there that because when you're given the option to pay for it, it does make you behave selfishly? Because that's a selfish behavior to say,
exactly.
I can pay for my kid for an extra half hour.
I'm going to be late. I'll just pay $20.
No, it's not a selfish behavior because you're not being selfish anymore. You're paying for it.
You're paying for your time.
You're being selfish if you leave your kids
and not pay for
it. And expect someone to take care of them for nothing.
They're talking about selfish economics more than, I think, a moral thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like picking your kids up and hanging out with them.
Yeah, there you go.
So pick up your damn kids is what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah. But that's the moral of this story.
I thought that was a really interesting point that, competes with the normal thoughts of economics.
Huh. All right. Tofu may raise your risk of dementia. God. It's Woody Allen. Eating high levels of some soy products, including tofu, may raise the risk of memory loss, research suggests. The study focused on 719 elderly Indonesians living in one urban and rural region of Java. The researchers found high tofu consumption, at least once a day, was associated with worse memory, particularly among the over 68s.
It wasn't coffee?
No. Well, this kind of research into the causes of Alzheimer's could lead scientists into new ways of preventing this devastating disease. But soy consumption is also on the increase in the West, where it's often promoted as a superfood. Soy products are rich in micronutrients called phytoestrogens, which mimic the impact of the female sex hormone oestrogen.
Turning all of our males into fembots.
Right. And then we can just get the mask. Right. There is some evidence that they may protect the brains of younger and middle-aged people from damage, but their effect on the aging brain is less clear. The latest study suggests that phytoestrogens in high quantity may actually heighten the risk of dementia. Lead researcher Professor Eef Holgervorst said previous... I'm not lying. Said previous research had linked estrogen therapy to a doubling of dementia risk in the over 65s. She said that oestrogens and probably phytoestrogens tended to promote growth among cells, not necessarily a good thing in the aging brain. So,
wow.
Tofu bad.
Tofu bad. Every freaking month, it's something's good, something's bad, something's good. It's like, come on. Every freaking month.
Well, yes. It goes to show you that anything in excess is probably not.
Yeah, moderation.
Probably not good.
Moderation, and there is no one way.
I mean, even water. You can actually get water poisoning.
I know.
Yes, you can, can't you?
Yeah.
You drink too much water, it can actually be bad for you.
All right, so should we just continue on with our meandering?
Shall we hit our meandering? Cue the music.
I've kind of been doing it. Hey, let's talk about video games first. Have you guys been playing any video games?
I'm playing Ticket to Ride like it's an addiction.
All right, so yeah, Xbox Live a week ago.
Released Ticket to Ride.
Released Ticket to Ride as an Xbox Live download for like, what, $12 or something?
Yeah. Funny because it's a free game on the internet if you play on your laptop.
Right. It is a free game on the internet at daysofwonder.com.
Right.
My wife has been playing it for...
ages.
A long time. She just got... what was the score she said she got the other day?
287.
287. Which
is, like, crazy.
That's it's uncanny. Insane. That means you got, like, everything.
Yeah.
You got everyone on the field. Yeah. I don't know how that's possible. I got 180, and I thought I was a god.
That is... actually, that is...
getting over 100 is...
yeah.
You know...
my average is, like...
start playing is pretty hard.
My average is, like, 112. So
there you go.
Anyway, it works well on the Xbox. I played it with a couple of my friends. It's pretty straightforward. They didn't dress it up.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's kind of a bummer.
What I liked is the possibility, the way it looks right now, is that they're going to be able to release new maps so you can play all over Europe. You can play over...
yeah, like
stuff.
Maybe they'll come up with a... there's a version called 1910, which adds some extra rules and cards
right
to the existing map. And then there's Ticket to Ride Europe.
Yeah, they didn't. They only released the American map, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, but you're right. They have a download section, like an additional content section. It looks like they're...
I want to see like an alien planet where it's really difficult to do things and
the only
crazy
problem,
rules.
Well, Peter and I played... There's a game that came out years and years and years ago that a lot of these games, these railroad games, are kind of based off of, and it's utter crap. But Peter and I played a version of a fantasy, essentially Ticket to Ride-ish, where you're connecting stuff. And one of the problems is it takes forever to find the cities in a map that's alien because you don't know where to look. So the game is slowed down so much to try to just search for where you need to be.
Gaza?
That's not the way it works. Here's the thing about Ticket to Ride, though. It lights up the cities you have to connect.
Right. In the video game version, yes, it would it would definitely light up, which would make...
here it is, idiot.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that whole not knowing where Gaza is.
All right. The European version is supposed to be better.
Oh, really?
Dubai, Europe is supposed to be that. It has extra rules and it has, like, bridges and stuff that you go...
bridges kinda, and tunnels. And
yeah.
Tunnels are more difficult to build, so...
Excellent. You know,
but, yeah. But, obviously...
Reward you with more points, or...?
They can, or they can just be a way to break through an area that's really difficult where you'd have to normally go around.
Right.
You know, so...
But it's a... I think it's totally worth the download. I have not played against the computer, so I don't know how the AI is.
AI's fine. I basically slowly, when I was first learning the game, I slowly did it incrementally, because you can set the AI for easy, medium, and hard.
For each player,
each
right?
player. So yeah. I did sort of everybody easy, one medium, and then I increased each one medium. Now I'm playing them all with hard. And
oh, okay.
The computer moves really fast at hard and does not make any mistakes. So it's
okay. It's great to play with
fun.
Other people. The chat system's great. You can see what's going on. So it's worth a download. Four people can play at a time.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think it's a great addition.
It's pretty good.
I also been playing Lost Cities, which is also a two-player card game that's also on Xbox Live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's... Don gave me the card game. It's a great card game.
Yeah, Tracy and I played it about a week and a half ago.
You own it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Not
that's
on
right.
Xbox. Yeah,
right.
The card game.
Yeah, you actually own the card game. So anyway, the card game is great. It's a quick play.
Yeah.
And so usually you play like two out of three rounds
or five rounds.
So I think it's a great game, and it works really well on Xbox. You can just sit down, shoot the shit, chat with your friend, and play Lost Cities.
Yeah. What I like about Ticket to Ride is my wife can come over and have a full conversation with me, and I don't lose any of the conversation and yet can play a full video game at the same time. She's not threatened by Ticket to Ride for some
right.
reason.
Well, it's because it's turn-based. You've got some...
I'm like, really, honey? What do you mean?
Right. Yeah. So I think those are great. I don't know of any other board games that are slated for Xbox Live.
It's unfortunate because they're my favorite thing.
Well, now, you know, I don't know if that means they're not coming. I just, like, these are the ones we knew about.
Yeah.
And
have they already released Talisman?
Okay, so here's the deal with Talisman. You know, they just released the fourth edition.
Right.
Around
which
Christmas
is,
time.
Yeah.
Well, that company went out of business.
Okay.
Now, Fantasy Flight Games, the guys who do all those big box games
right.
and, like, Descent and all that, they just bought the rights to it.
Smart.
So, and they said they're going to continue with the product.
Good.
Now, what that means with the video game version, which was also supposed to come out last Christmas.
Right.
I have no clue.
Hmm.
It has not even on the radar anymore. Now, they even showed IGN... had even screenshots of
right,
it at
of the
one
game.
Point.
Yeah.
Really?
I have no clue what is going on with Talisman, the board game on Xbox Live.
Shame.
It could be lost forever.
Shame.
It could just be... I mean, it's kind of a long game. So
I love me some Talisman. You know what would be really great? If you play it, pause it, go away.
Save.
Come back to your damn game with your friends.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
That because would be slicky cool. Or even replace out an AI... Like, you could say, oh, John can't play tonight.
Like Tan does, yeah.
Here.
Yeah, or maybe the game moves fast enough when it's controlled by the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe, you know, because of the upkeep and all that, all the mechanics is, you know, all the die rolling. Maybe you can play in, like, 40 minutes.
Right.
I'm hoping that Civilization will let you save...
That would be neat.
You can't. When you're playing with multiplayer, I'm almost... the review said I don't think you can save when you're playing multiplayer games.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Civ, those, it just doesn't seem like a multiplayer game.
No, it doesn't really. But you know, but it might be fun occasionally to play, you know?
Yeah. Now, okay, before we move on to some of the bigger games, I know that Puerto Rico, which is one of my favorite board games of all time...
Right.
That used to be able to play online, and Microsoft bought the rights for that, and it got taken offline a year ago.
Okay.
And the rumors have been...
That they're going to release it?
That, well, if Microsoft bought it, they're going to do something with it.
Right, of
and
course.
And that Xbox Live would be perfect for it. So I'm hoping that Puerto Rico will come out for Xbox Live, because my ass would be all over that. That
right.
game is freaking awesome.
Love Aaron's it. Ass will be all over Puerto Rico.
Well, speaking about Civilization.
Okay.
You know, the demo's come out. You can only play to like 1250 AD or something like that.
Yeah, so for Xbox and for PlayStation 3, the new version of the console, Civilization Revolutions, is out.
Yeah, and it will actually come out to be able to be purchased on the 8th. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Just, you know, by next by, week. By the time this is actually posted, you'll be able to purchase it. So the thing about it is, in the past, when they've done Civilization games for like the PC or the Mac, one of the things that they've had to be careful about is they want to make sure that it'll run on any computer.
Right.
So graphically, you know, they're able to do stuff, but they're only able to do so much. Well, when they're writing, when they're making the game for something like the Xbox, they can really design.
They know exactly what everybody has.
Right.
Right. So this game is beautiful to play.
Oh.
You know,
I prefer that because I was always sort of bored with the very top down view of Civilization.
Well, it still has that.
It's still top down, but it's got, you know, the terrain is made so no piece of terrain will really look like the rest of the terrain. They try and individuate it all. They've had to simplify the game in a lot of ways to make
I hear it's not simplified that much, that it's almost the same.
It's almost the same. But, like, you know, they had rules like if you built roads in the past, roads would give you extra trade points, all sorts of stuff. Some of that stuff's gone.
Yeah.
And the rules have changed a little bit, but they're not changed so much as it still feels like the same game. It just feels like, you know, it plays
a little slimmed down.
Yeah. The fog of war is beautiful. It's great.
The fog of war is beautiful?
Yeah, you can't see anything.
What I can't see is gorgeous. What?
Well, basically, the way they kind of... when you start out the game, there's a thick layer of fog on the whole board where you can't see anything until you've seen it, except the mountaintops peek out of the top.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of a neat little touch. But the further away you are from something, the thicker the fog gets.
Hmm.
So, like, if you don't have people in that area, you know, you may still know what the terrain looks like, but it's a little foggy, so you can't see if there are people there. But so it's really kind of neat.
That case more like the smog of war.
Yeah. Yes. You should download it. It's a great. I mentioned it last time that I downloaded and thought it was great. You should. It's, you know, free.
Check it out.
I've literally played the demo probably 20 times.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
Damn. It's the same.
He
thing.
Beat no, it changed. Oblivion.
Oh. Yeah.
He beat Oblivion. Oblivion.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. But you haven't downloaded Bad Company or Grid or anything?
I didn't know about Bad Company.
Bad Company is great.
Yeah,
and it's in
the
funny.
Demo. If you go to the demo section, they have all the demos that are there.
Yeah.
Bad Company is fun. You're playing the actual game, though.
Yeah, the game. So Bad Company, which is Battlefield's new version, is pretty damn fun. There's nothing realistic about this game. It's just fun. It's... and the online is a blast. Now, there is a problem with the online that we found out. They have a party system like Halo where you can get people to, you know, join your party and then you go join a game.
Mm-hmm.
But you only can put 4 people in the party.
Okay.
And when you join a game, you only can talk to those 4 people. So if you have like 8 of your friends, you can only talk to 4 of them.
Ah.
And that's a problem. Now, I don't know if they're going to... People have been bitching. I went on their website to kind of like see if there's a way around it. People are bitching about this. I mean, they are raising hell. I don't know if they're going to come out with a fix for it. Because I know that they decided they're going to... There's a gameplay element that you play in the online version, which is you have to take over these gold crates. And it opens up in the next part of the map, and then the other team defends it. So you have this giant map, but you're only using a little part of it at a time, and then
right.
skips. So it's great in that respect.
So remind me, Bad Company is the sequel, or it's actually like the third in...
Well,
to what game?
Well, Battlefield...
It's Battlefield.
It's Battlefield, but it's kind of a new way of looking at it. There's a story. Battlefield's always just been an online game,
right,
pretty much.
Right.
Now there's the story that's pretty damn fun. The single player is fun, where you play this. You're part of this.
You're basically Blackwater, aren't you?
No. Well, no.
You're more like the Dirty Dozen than anything.
It's
else.
More like it's like Kelly's Heroes, where you're in this war, and then you find some gold bars, and you're in this kind of fucked up. Yeah. Like squad, which is just lame guys.
They're misfits. Yeah.
The misfits, and then they decide they're going to go after the gold bars,
okay.
And they just go off the grid after a while. So at first you're doing war stuff, where you go on missions, you have to take out stuff, and then like you get in trouble, and you're already crossed like the border into the enemy territory. So you could technically start a war, and you're like, well, we're in trouble already, so. Why don't we go after these gold bars?
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So it's pretty damn fun. And the mechanics of being able to blow holes and take down entire buildings. Like, you can strip a building so you can see every
Yeah, so you can blow a hole in the building and then run through the hole that you just created.
Or like, you know, like I had, like there was a time where there was, you know, people all in this building real far away, and I had some mortar, like a mortar thing where I can just call in mortar stuff. I just completely knocked the whole, I did knock the building down, but just stripped every wall away from it. So it's just kind of interior wall, so I could see everybody and just start taking them out that way. I mean,
okay, that's a lot of fun.
It's pretty fun. And you can do that in the multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Like in the multiplayer game, there might be, you know, one of the crates might be in a building, and the door's on the other side where the enemy is. Like, fuck it, you just take your grenade, blow a hole in the wall there, walk through the wall, and then, you know, get the crate that way.
Now, multiplayer, is it multiplayer, you and your friends playing against the computer, or is it multiplayer?
No,
you play against each other.
Yeah, so it's 16 people, 8 people defending, 8 people attacking, and
eight
it's
on a squad, yeah.
Fun as hell.
Or
all
four
the vehicles, tanks, helicopters.
Why in the world would they make it so you can only put in a party?
Because I think it's because EA has always made, have never been great with their online capabilities, and they just couldn't get a chat to work.
Yep.
I'm quite sure that is what it is. Now, I'm fine with, let's say they can't do that. Okay, fine. But here's the other thing you can't do. You can't join a squad of four and then Matt join a squad of four and then meet at a game and play with each other. Even if you can't talk to each other, at least you'd have two squads of your buddies and you could talk to each other.
Right.
You can't do that.
What do you mean you can't meet?
You can't join two parties together and play.
Yeah, you can't.
That's colossally dumb.
It's fucking stupid. Now, if you're playing a game singly, I can join your game, but then it randomly puts me in a squad of four.
Maybe with me or against me.
Maybe with me, maybe on the other team, maybe not.
So you just kind of, you have to keep on logging out, logging back in, logging
out. Yeah, it's dumb as hell. So, like, the problem is the other night we had six people and I said, come on, let's go play.
This really hot chick just walked in and out of the room. Just, you know.
That happens in my house all the time.
Yeah, you know, it does. Go on.
So, you know, we had six people the other night. We all were ready to play, and we couldn't get to work. So four of us played on one side. The other two got stuck on the other team. They couldn't talk to anybody, and we're like, this is dumb. So they need to fix that. But they are coming up with some downloads. Apparently, they are going to come out with a game type that makes it play like the original Battlefield, where you have control points and tickets.
Right.
Which would be cool, just because that would be another way of playing the same game. And maybe
what do you mean by tickets?
Well, in the original Battlefield, you had two teams, and you had these spots all over the map.
Control points.
Yeah, no,
and then at the top, you had a score, like tickets. Every time you died and respawned, you would take one ticket away.
Oh.
Now, the more control points the other team has, the more it made your tickets count down. And whatever team ran out of tickets first lost.
Got it.
So the more you died, that got rid of tickets, and the less control points you had got rid of tickets.
Okay, that's
smart. Yeah, it's a great way of playing.
You could have more control points, but be getting just the shit shot out of you, and you still lose.
Yeah, exactly. But really, if you control more control points, you will probably win.
Probably win.
Yeah. So that game type they say is coming. So maybe they can at least have a way of joining two squads.
Right.
Because the people who love to play in clans, they're going really ape shit because they can't play clan battles.
Yeah.
So anyway, great game though.
Excellent.
The other games I want to talk about that I've been. I don't know if I said this online last time, but I do have a PlayStation 3 now.
You said you were going to go buy one.
Okay. So I have my PlayStation 3.
How is it? How's the Blu-ray?
The Blu-ray is great.
Did you watch Blade Runner?
I have not. I'm going to have a Blade Runner party.
So. Aaron.
I watched.
You're disappointing geeklings everywhere.
No, I've watched half the documentary.
You sounded strangely like my father there.
Didn't. No. God.
No, I wanted to have people over and watch Blade Runner with a whole bunch of people.
Okay.
So I'll put that shout out.
Okay.
But yeah, I actually haven't bought any games for it.
How many really great games are there for the PS3?
Rent one from Blockbuster and just see how it looks.
Yeah, I probably will.
My friend Jeff said he had bought Metal Gear on the day that it came out and still hasn't cracked the box. So,
Metal Gear just does not look like my type of game. I don't want to watch an hour cutscene a couple of times in a row. It still looked like the Japanese humor is way too juvenile for me. I think I'm kind of done. I thought Metal Gear 3, the first one that came on PlayStation.
Right.
Or was Metal it PlayStation? Gear. Just Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid.
That game was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was freaking awesome. And I even liked the second one, even though I don't know what the fuck was going on. You remember playing
that
one.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then the third one
Why
came
is there
out.
A spider ninja coming after me?
And then the third one, I was like, come on, I just didn't want to play it. And the fourth one looks more interesting, but I think I'm done with that.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm still buying my games for the 360 because I can play with my friends.
Right.
So, you know, if something comes out...
Now, are you going to hook this PS3 up to the internet?
It's hooked up to the internet now.
Okay. And it has sort of what? I mean, is it functionally like...
Let's talk about the interface for the PS3, which is a little awkward.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
The 360 is very intuitive.
Yeah.
It's easy to use.
This one, it's like overly designed to the point where... Now, the biggest problem, which they are trying to fix right now, is that... You know, on the Xbox, when you hit the Xbox button, a sleeve comes out.
Yes.
You can see how many people... Your friends are online, what they're playing, and you can join them, you can talk to them, and all that stuff.
Right.
You cannot do that in a PlayStation PS3 game.
That's dumb.
Well, hang on. When you're in a game, you cannot access the outside world in that way. Until right now. They have made an update that allows you to do that. But as of yesterday, they took the update off because it was bricking 360 or PlayStation 3s. Apparently, there's something wrong with it, and it was making the PlayStation 3 unusable.
Huh.
So it was up for a brief second. Luckily, I didn't turn on my PlayStation 3 and download it because I'd rather just wait for it, a working one.
Actually functional.
Yeah. But the other problem with it is, you know, it's the same PlayStation PSP menu system where you're sliding along a rail and then you kind of go up and down. It's just too cluttery. Like and there's the transparencies are so transparent that sometimes
it wasn't that when I saw it, it wasn't that it was cluttery. It was that you didn't see enough
to
be able to pick your stuff. It was like you have to know the menu, and you have to. It's like when you go to play Xbox 360 games.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you all the games on one page that you can see them. If you can't see them all, you can scroll down and see 10 to 12 at the same time. It looked like you could only see 3 or 4 at the same time on the PS3.
Huh. I mean, yeah, you can go online and see what it looks like. It's one of these designed, like, definitely designed by designer that is... It just feels like it's the design...
They went for pretty rather than...
Yeah, the design won out over functionality. Unlike the Xbox, which is less cool looking, but you can see what's going on.
Well, it's that's they were going for like an Apple simplicity.
Yeah,
or like
exactly.
A Google homepage simplicity, mm-hmm. where less is better.
Which but I'm all for. As a designer, I'm all for. But
it looks very pretty. It just, but it's not.
It don't work.
They didn't match it to the functionality.
Hmm. Yeah. So whatever. And I downloaded a couple. Like I downloaded Flow because it's kind of a beautiful, kind of tranquil type of thing. And I don't know. When a game comes out, maybe Resistance 2 or something, I'll buy that. But nothing yet has kind of popped.
But we
up.
Can finally have somebody talking about PS3 games, which
yes.
is good.
Okay. If something comes out that is specific to PS3 that's interesting, I will probably go pick it
what
up.
What else we got that's on the final video game thing?
I just want to talk about Guitar Hero 4 that's been announced.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have seen the stuff, the new drum kit for guitar. So Guitar Hero 4 coming
okay,
out.
Will it allow you to use the good...
Okay.
You're going to have to buy
we
one
don't
or
know.
The other.
We don't know. They no one has asked him the fucking question. They keep doing all these interviews with him, but nobody will ask him, can I use Rock Band... I don't know what their problem is. It's the most obvious question.
Maybe they're told beforehand...
Probably.
...that they can't ask that question.
Probably. So... The Guitar Hero 4 will now have a drum kit, two guitars, and a microphone. Essentially has become Rock Band.
Okay.
Now, the drum looks freaking awesome. It's got three drums and then two cymbals.
Right. That's the Guitar Hero. Right.
That's Guitar Hero 4,
right,
looks cool. Okay. I don't know if that will work for Garage Band. I mean, for Rock Band.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Whether or not.
But the other cool thing is that it has a music creation system.
Right.
Which sounds really cool up front, but I don't think I would ever. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and eke out a some song.
I seem to remember them taking one of those functionalities off. Like, I think it was the music creation system or one of the other ones that they basically said, this is too hard.
No, this one's in it.
Okay.
This is definitely in it. They've demoed it. So this is in it. Now, so they've stepped it up. It's mm-hmm. a now kind of...
All right, Rock Band, bring it.
Now, Rock Band 2, last week, they was announced.
Okay, it's been brought in.
So, and that's supposed to come out in September, but they have not said a word about any of the features.
Huh.
So, E3 comes out July 14th, I think is when it starts, and they said they're going to start talking about Rock Band 2.
Okay.
And we'll see. Now, they made it sound like they're just kind of tighten up what's already there, but here's the things they have said. One, all the downloads that you've downloaded for Rock Band will work.
Great.
And the new downloads for Rock Band 2 will work for Rock Band 1. If you don't want to buy the sequel, you can keep downloading.
Excellent.
Yay.
Yay. Yay.
They said, we wanted to make a platform game, meaning you buy it and build on it, and they're sticking with that. So if you don't want to buy Rock Band 2, you can still download.
Great.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, they also said that they're going to come out with new versions of their instruments, but they said the old ones will work.
Great.
Very good. So far, so good. And they also said, even though we're not announcing any like features, the one thing we are going to announce is that we've redone the way you would play local, like party play with mm-hmm. four people to make it easier to play at parties. If anybody who's ever played Rock Band at parties knows. To get everybody not to hit buttons so that you can fucking select.
John, stop hitting the drums, man. God, I'm trying to move through, trying to choose a
idiotic.
Boston song.
Like, the Rock Band's menu system is fucking stupid.
It's dumb.
It's dumb. And you can barely select a song without people hitting buttons and getting out of it and stuff like that. They promised they have revamped that whole thing.
Right.
Which is great. So anyway, that's the Rock Band / Guitar Hero 4 news. They're definitely battling. I think that they need to make their instruments compatible in order for any of them to make money, and I don't see why they shouldn't. And I think Rock Band's fine with it. Rock Band made it so that you could use a Guitar Hero 3 guitar. They said they wanted their stuff
cross-functionality.
To be, and Guitar Hero is the one that stopped them down. So Activision needs to get their head out of their ass.
Right. Well, I'm not sure if that'll happen.
That's for video games for me. I'm kind of done.
Okay.
How about we played some board games recently.
We did.
Okay. Board games real quickly, because we are already an hour and a half into this crazy-ass episode.
All right. Buy a PC.
The board games we want to talk about is Pandemic.
Great game. A lot of fun.
We're trying to hide the fact that we just crashed our board game section and we're rejoining.
Buy a PC. Buy a PC.
Anyway, cooperative board game where disease spreads across the planet.
There's four different diseases. You have to shut them down. Each area of the planet has a different disease.
Now, wait a second. Isn't this the game where, like, you know, diseases get into a city and then the city sort of pops?
Yeah. What happens
and then it spreads
the
really fast?
Fills up too much in one city.
I've heard about this somewhere.
It pops and it spreads to all the cities around it. Now, if those cities are also close to popping, it'll pop them too. Meaning that very quickly a whole continent can fill up with disease and shut the whole game down.
Oh, so this is a game where you have to not only solve the disease, but also get ahead of the virus before it gets to two.
Exactly, Matt.
I know I've heard about this somewhere.
It's almost like you played it.
Yeah.
Except you haven't.
I haven't.
But it is a cooperative game, so everyone's trying to fight through either keeping at bay the disease in each city or trying to cure it. It's only like a 45-minute game.
Yep.
Quickly.
Which is great. Because most of these cooperative games are like an hour and a half at least. So
you win or lose very quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, you can play that and move on to another game. So
anyway,
Pandemic, I thought it was a great game. The other one we tried to play was Kill Dr. Lucky.
Which we did not necessarily have enough people to play. We only had three. And it's the type of game you can have like eight people in, isn't it?
Now, this is the one, it's like Clue?
No, it's actually, it sounds like Clue, where it's a mansion and a guy, an automated character moves to the mansion and you're trying to kind of trap him alone in a room and then play a kill card.
Okay. It's the opposite of Clue. Instead of trying to find out
who killed Mr. Body.
Yeah, you are trying to kill
Mr. Lucky. Yeah.
Exactly. And the game seems like it would be way more interactive and fun if there's like at least five or six people playing.
Yeah. Three, not so good.
Three was kind of boring. In fact, we played one game that just happened to last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it went really quickly.
Because I happened to get in a room with him, and it was the first turn, and I happened to have a kill card, and they happened to have no defense cards. I just won.
Yeah,
wow. Straight out. So there's a little bit of a problem there.
Yeah.
The other thing I just want to talk about that I haven't played but I just bought is called Through the Ages. And Through the Ages is a I think actually in the note or somewhere online they said when it was originally made, it was supposed to be called Civilization the Card Game.
Is this the 5 or 6 hour one?
It can be. It looks like it's between an hour and a half, 2 hours for the basic game, and maybe 3 hours for the advanced game and 4 or 5 hours for the advanced game. But it's essentially Civilization the Card Game, and it's got some interesting sounding mechanics with population growth and technology expansion and also resource management, and you can also attack other people.
Excellent.
But it's a card game.
Oh, by the way, sorry, off that issue, the Spore Creature Creator is out.
Yes, I have not. And for Mac and PC.
Mac and PC. So if you want to create your creature for Spore.
There was 300,000 of them made or some crazy number in like the first 24 hours.
Yep. And a lot of them were very funny because they were penises.
Yeah, and you got to watch it because they're banning people.
They're banning people from making penis creatures.
Yeah, so you got to watch
Or vagina monsters.
Which is too bad.
Hey, man.
But here's the cool thing is I kind of thought that they all had to look like goofy, silly creatures. But the other thing that people are doing is recreating creatures from other games.
Right.
And someone made all of the Half-Life creatures, and they look just like them.
Ugh.
And so they weren't silly looking. They actually look pretty creepy.
You can make some pretty intense things.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a creature that someone made that looked like two people having sex.
Yeah, I saw that,
and
too.
And I was like, that's bizarre because it was pretty intricate.
Yeah, it was pretty intricate.
That's strange, man.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty cool. So,
excellent.
That's it for kind of board games. I did buy D&D 4th Edition.
How is that?
I just bought it. And I really want to see the online stuff, but I hear only half the online stuff was implemented. Only, like, you can do online searches and stuff, but the actual playing the game online isn't out yet.
Hmm.
With the virtual board and all that. And I think that's the part that sounds the coolest.
Yeah.
So, that part I'm a little disappointed in. So, we'll see. I'll read up on it.
Does it have a lot of rule changes in the...
Don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't play 3rd Edition. I've heard there's a lot of rule changes. In fact, I've met two guys who are big Dungeons and Dragons 3.5 players, and they didn't like 4th Edition at all because they said it dumbed it down.
I don't know.
Whatever.
They made it more playable.
I guess so.
Okay.
Any other board games?
No, I'm good.
Nope.
That was faster than our first go around.
A lot faster.
Let's move on to movies.
Movies.
Hancock.
Didn't see it.
Don's review is basically that there were great characters, and he really loved Charlize Theron. Basically he was underwhelmed with the plot of the script, and in fact it was really dumb. But he said
he liked it, though.
But he said he really... Yeah, but Don likes bad movies.
I know.
Charlize Theron was stunningly beautiful in the film, and she was a great actor.
So, Peter, you've seen it.
I've seen it.
Okay.
It's an interesting film. It's more an intellectual exercise to see, like, how they screwed it up. I think the directing is pretty bad.
Is it worth $14 to go see this movie?
Sounds like a renter.
It was worth the $9 I spent.
Ah, you know? Okay.
We'll wait until it comes out on Blu-ray. We'll rent it and we'll watch it on high definition.
But basically, it'll be a month, right?
There's some good ideas in this, but halfway through the movie, it becomes a different movie.
That's what my wife saw. She said she actually liked the first part of it, and then it goes really dumb.
It gets weird.
Movies by committee.
And she said the bad guy is dumb.
He's dumb, too.
Yeah. That's not good for a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Is he Samuel L. Jackson as Mr. Glass coming back again?
The bad guy's ability, the bad guy has no real sense that he should be able to do what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, the bad guy should expect to go and get his ass handed to him. But for some reason, comes and
well, see, that's not good.
Yeah,
First of all, you want to know that the bad guy can kick your superhero's ass.
Well, he can, but he shouldn't know he can right now. It's kind of like some normal guy going, I'm going to go fight Superman, but not knowing that Superman has just ingested Kryptonian.
I see.
Or whatever you call it. But, you know.
He just ate a Kryptonian.
Yeah, he ate a Kryptonian. All right, so Hancock Renter is what you're saying.
Renter or, you know, like a matinee. Fun. It's interesting, but it's not great.
Okay, can I move on to another horrible movie?
Yes. Do you ever watch Talk Soup, however?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Talk Soup, they made fun of 2007, and they were talking about the 300. And they basically said, if you are what you eat, then obviously this is a movie about men who eat nothing but gay bodybuilders.
Nice. All right. I did see The Happening. Okay, before you...
Was it...
Okay.
Why?
Happening?
Or as...
Why?
Or as Carolyn Lassick says, the not happening.
I mean...
Okay, here's the reason why.
When I saw that title, I thought that that was what people were going to make fun of it as.
Well, okay. I actually thought the trailer was intriguing.
Okay.
Like, the concept was kind of freaky to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking forward to the movie. Then people were telling me how god-awful it was. And they were even bringing up the name, like, Ed Wood as far. And I went, come on. You don't like the movie, but don't be a douche.
M. Night is not that bad.
Like, it's not that bad. So I actually went to see it to see how bad it was, because I was now so intrigued that, like, how could it possibly be that bad?
Did they prepare you for how bad it was?
It's pretty bad.
So you came in with the lowest of the low expectations.
So I knew it was going to be bad, and it was my curiosity. I couldn't not go because of the talk of how bad it was.
Okay.
So I know that's not a good way or a good reason to see it, but it was almost like too...
I don't want to endorse bad films mantra that I am now going through.
Oh, I have that. I don't go see bad films, but there was something that I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe that it was really that bad.
Right.
It's pretty fucking bad. And here's the other thing I was intrigued about. I was wondering where it went bad. I was thinking, okay, is he a great writer who's a bad director,
right,
or is he really a great director and he's just, you know?
Is it Lady in the Water bad?
I didn't see that.
Interesting, but could have been.
No.
But
so you're mistaking bad choices, meaning like some people like, oh, I just didn't like that type of movie. No, this is like the quality of this movie is bad.
Meaning what?
Meaning some of the worst acting you'll see in the next 10 years.
My friend Eric made that. He said Mark Wahlberg walks through the whole film. Like,
no,
what is
everybody
going on?
Does that.
Why?
There's a shot in the trailer where he says, There's just some things. He's talking to some kids. There's just some things in this world that we're just never going to be explained. That line is how every single line is delivered by all characters in this movie. They all act like they're 5 years old. I don't know. Even there's a female character, the woman who plays the lead in Tin Man.
Right.
She was god awful in Tin Man, and she's god awful in here. I don't know how she's. Is there something she's done that is somehow getting her work?
She was in Tin Man. And she put down a good audition for this. That's all you need to know.
I don't know how she's getting work. Because now, I'm not going to blame this movie on her, because I've seen Mark Wahlberg do good stuff.
Mark Wahlberg can throw down. He's good.
This is career ending.
Really?
Bad. Like, if you didn't know that he could do other things, he would never work again.
Well, wow.
Well, you know, here's the thing. M. Night, I think, is self-destructing. Because from what I heard, before he made Lady in the Water, I think it was Disney said, this is not good. And he basically freaked out and said, you guys have no fucking clue what you're talking about. This is the rumor I heard, anyway. You have no idea what you're talking about. This is genius. You don't get it. I'm going to go and make this. And, you know,
well, I also heard somebody who told him that got fired because he wanted her out.
Oh, really?
For Lady in the Water. She says, you need to make these changes. He said, how dare you? And then went and got her, tried to get her, she got let
you know,
go.
It just goes to show, I mean, sometimes when you put one person in power, totally, without having any, you know, it's like Lucas, without having anyone that can tell them no. Sometimes it's bad.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, listen, it's
everyone
art.
Needs someone to tell you no. That's got some class and some style.
Maybe. I mean, would you say that to painters? A painter? I mean, the fact is, it's art, and so there's some good artists, there's some bad artists. Some good artists make bad art. Bad artists make good art. This movie is very clear to me that he is not a good filmmaker. Mm. Because this wasn't
so
a mistake.
This was
not a mistake.
What was Sixth Sense then? Was Sixth Sense a fluke?
I think it must have been a fluke. And I know people like some of his other movies. Like, I thought Unbreakable was just average.
I thought Unbreakable was average. The thing with M. Night is I really enjoy his concepts. I have not enjoyed his follow-through since Sixth Sense.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the problem, because this was very clear that it was an M. Night movie. He wrote and directed this thing, and it is really fucking bad. Hmm. And the choices that were made with the story is really bad.
I think it has a lot to do with obstacles. I think these are very good artists. I think these are extreme, but I think it's like a band who comes right off the street, you know? That band coming off the street has had to work their set in a club for however long until they get, you know, you have to vet it
but
through a number
like
of people.
But this feels like Sixth Sense type of, it's not like Terminator and Terminator 2.
Okay.
You know, Terminator had that kind of fresh, like, guerrilla-ness to it that mm-hmm. gave it an energy. And Terminator 2, which is a great movie, was so slick, the kind of energy of the guerrilla shooting.
The freneticness wasn't
yeah,
there.
Wasn't
yeah,
wasn't as there. Was there. This is not like that. This is like, it looked like it could been done in the same year. I mean, right. it's not like so slick it's lost its...
Well, freshness, but this is just fucking stupid.
And the people, like, there are people who are acting.
But I'm talking about specifically his screenwriting style. Is because if you're a screenwriter who is trying to get this screenplay sold, then you got to go back and you got to get a no.
You got
to
work it.
You got to work that over and over. Once you're M. Night Shyamalan and you can basically say, I want to make a film because I made Sixth Sense and I'm a big honking star.
Well, his next film might be harder to make.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Because this was pretty bad.
I have not seen that in Hollywood, that just because you had a badass film that suddenly
you
don't work.
No, you do see it.
Have you seen career-ending movies for writers, directors?
Not career, but I've seen... We have all seen at least... actors that have had disappeared very quickly.
I know William Goldman went 10 years down and didn't write anything. It was right after he did Princess Bride and then
but that's because he
had films that did incredibly badly in the movie theater and nobody would talk to him. So
I don't know. I think M. Night might be in trouble. Well, Uwe Boll.
Yeah, no. But
we'll see if he makes another one.
Uwe Boll works for a different reason. Uwe Boll works because his films, no matter what he makes, can't lose money because of the German.
Well, that's over. So we'll see if he makes another Crapasaurus.
Piece of crap.
By the way, we've talked about that.
And by the way, you know BioShock, the movie, has a director now?
Does it really?
The guy who did the Harry Potter movies. What was the last one?
Chris Columbus?
No, the last one. What was the last one?
Oh, I don't know who did the last
one. Val something. Anyway, I'll look it up.
He did a pretty good job in the last one, so, you know.
Yeah.
Anywho, other movies. I saw Wall-E.
Wall-E.
Right. Okay, here's the deal with Wall-E.
Okay, can we... I mean, the thing
it
is...
It could be one of the better movies this year.
Just everyone needs to go see Wall-E.
Yeah, let's not talk too much.
Functionally, okay. We could do a whole episode on Wall-E.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it is totally worth seeing.
It is unbelievably good.
And it looks great.
But don't build up your expectation too much.
Well, for me,
just go and enjoy it.
Yeah, go and enjoy
it's not,
it.
It's not like, you know, life-changing.
No, it's not life-changing, but it's a great movie.
And the thing is that the more you know about film, the more you know about, like, Chaplin and Buster Keaton and like that, you can watch them again and again after having seen some of those things and really get even greater enjoyment from it.
I actually thought there was a slow part in the movie.
Oh, really?
In the middle, I thought it was a little slow, but...
They quoted Modern Times, and they had me from that point, because, I mean, they straight out quoted Chaplin, and I was like, okay, I'm on board.
Good movie. Great movie. That's the only ones I've really seen that's geeking up, but I do want to just talk about... Anyone seen the trailers for Day the Earth Stood Still?
Saw the trailer for that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
What do you think about Journey to the Center of the Earth?
It looks like crap, but it's in 3D.
It's in 3D, and it's Brendan Fraser, who I think is incredibly funny.
I actually might go see it if I can see it in 3D, but that movie looks like hell.
Yeah. Well, what was the scene where they're running away from the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and he goes, "It's a dinosaur," and his son goes, "You've never seen a dinosaur before?" And he goes, "Yeah, but usually they didn't have skin." And I'm like, "You're running from a Tyrannosaurus. You're not having this conversation."
Yeah. No. It's a lot of dumb. But yeah, I'm kind of willing to see a 3D movie just for the like thrill ride factor, not for anything else.
Back to the Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah. What's his face is in the movie?
Will Smith.
Well, no. You know who's in the fucking movie.
No, I don't. Come on, Aaron.
Keanu Reeves is in the movie.
Oh,
and so
really?
I've always been like, okay, the movie's fucked. But the trailer's not bad.
Keanu, does he know his ass from his elbow?
He plays Klaatu.
So he knows everything.
So
he's Jesus again.
No. But he plays someone that's disconnected a little bit.
That doesn't matter.
No. Because
Keanu Reeves' rule of thumb is if he knows his ass from his elbow, the film will suck.
Well, okay. then the film will suck. But it is interesting that they've given him a part from the minuscule amount that I've seen. The disconnect that, as an alien, he has with his physical form.
Right.
May save the
save
Keanu Reeves.
If what this film is what is Earth? What is this strange food I am eating? What are you? Are you woman?
Well, okay.
If that's the case,
that's
it could be very good.
I think the idea of the film is like, you know, if you guys don't get your shit together, we're going to blow up the planet. That's kind of how the Earth is still concept is. I think it may be a genesis of, I now know what this planet is about because I'm learning something I didn't know about humans. That's going to save.
The guy,
I think that's what they're going to build up
to. The guy consistently walks backwards into millions of dollars, and he hasn't done it in about 10 minutes, so it's about time.
I'm curious about this. And there is a quick billionth of a second shot of Gort.
Gort, yeah,
but
the robot.
All it is is a silhouette with an I-beam opening up and a blazer coming out the camera. So I don't know where that's
Klaatu, from. Klaatu, Varata, Nictu.
We'll see.
Okay, Wanted.
Oh, I did see Wanted. You're right.
Wanted was the film that was done by the guy who did Day Watch and Night Watch.
Which?
The Russian dude.
I just finally watched Day Watch and was like, huh?
Yeah, Day Watch
was
good.
Night Watch
was great, though.
Night Watch was great. But the thing was,
a lot of his stylistics to it.
With this trailer, the trailer turned me off to the film so much that I didn't want to see it.
But Wanted?
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why. To me, okay, I went to Wanted going to it as if I was going to see Snakes on a Plane.
Okay.
In other words,
they're going to curve bullets around.
They're
going to
curve bullets. They're going to be digital effects where they're hanging off the trains as they're flying. You know, that type of stuff. And that's how I was going into it.
And that's what you got.
And that's what I got. The movie is fun, but it makes no sense if you actually think about any of the things they're talking about. And it's pretty... Actually, there's a couple of concepts in there that are really fucking awesome. But in general, it's fucking stupid.
What concepts?
There's this great concept. And, okay, spoiler alert, kinda. It's not that, but it is spoiler alert.
What if nobody ever told you that bullets don't move in a curve?
No. There's this great concept where there's a secret society of assassins who get their instructions from, quote, fate. These assassins started by these weavers thousands of years ago, okay? And these weavers found out that in this giant loom that they had, that in the stitching was binary code, and it spelled out names. And these names were people that fate has decided that was screwing up the universe.
So the Norns or the three women
mythology. There's a shot of this giant loom that's automated that's kind of has sunlight kind of passing through all the thousands of threads that's just weaving just a piece of fabric. And they search the fabric for these little inconsistencies in the fabric that actually come out with this binary code. It's kind of a cool idea of like the universe talking to us through kind of a strange ways.
Right.
That I thought that was very interesting.
Well, you know that from Greek
clever.
Mythology, right? The three women who
Oh no, I
yeah, that's straight out Greek mythology. They weave the threads of fate, and one person is the warp, the woof, and then they cut it at the end. And when your thread is cut at the end of it, that's the end of your life.
They've taken some of that from that.
Also the
Norns. Anyway, I thought that part was pretty interesting. It's very fantastical, which is fine, but. Don had problems with it.
Don knows his Greek mythology.
I don't think he had problems with that.
Oh, really?
It's not a perfect film by any means. It doesn't have a lot of depth. It has a great deal of style.
Better or worse than Jumper?
Better.
Okay.
I never saw Jumper.
Significantly better than Jumper.
Okay. And it's way better than Shoot 'Em Up, which is a pile of crap.
But does anyone shoot the umbilical cord off of a baby?
No. But they do curve bullets, so...
Yeah.
And there's a great digital action scene on a train that's coming off of a bottomless ravine off a bridge, and everyone's hanging. I mean, you know, it's so funny.
And Angelina Jolie is hot.
Yeah, but she says maybe three lines in the entire movie.
She doesn't have a big role in the movie, but
she's like, I'm pregnant.
She ain't pregnant in this one.
So this is pre-pregnancy.
She's fucking skinny.
She is skinny in this.
She looks too skinny.
Huh. Oh, she looked fucking awesome in this. But anyways,
it's a fun movie.
I would say if you have a big screen TV and surround sound, that this could be a renter.
Okay.
No. I would say go see it in the movie theater if you're someone that likes action.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's fun.
It got 70% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's fun.
It's still a fun movie.
It's fun, but do not try to figure it out. And if you want your heroes to be like real heroes, don't think because...
People die
in it. They have no regard for people at all, even though they're supposed to be heroes. It makes no sense. Any other movies?
That's it for me.
Yeah, I think
those are only geek movies that I saw. I have some links.
People have got to go see Mongol is one thing that I'm going to see it this week. I will give you a review of it. Maureen loved it. It's about the early life of Genghis Khan.
But I hear it's like the nice version. Like Genghis Khan's like a nice guy.
Well,
he's like a progressive like feminist and all this other bullshit.
He wasn't necessarily a progressive feminist, but the guy...
He went around and raped half of the fucking earth.
True.
And here he's like... He's like in love with one woman and he's...
That's another way of saying he's not exactly a progressive feminist.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah. But he did have one of the only, you know, conquering civilizations that lasted past his death.
Well, okay. That's fine.
I don't know. I haven't seen the bullshit story. I haven't seen it, so...
I'm not saying it's not a good movie. I'm just saying that it does not sound historically accurate.
Right. Okay.
Maureen, is Mongol historically accurate?
Hell no.
Hello.
But it's a good time.
But it's a good time, she
says. Okay. Any books, by the way, that we...
Yes.
What books would
Peter
you
and I both read His Majesty's Dragon.
Great book.
Which is fantastic. Also, Peter has annoyed me now with Song of the Wind or whatever that's called.
Yep. Name of the Wind.
Name of the Wind.
Which is an amazing book.
Which is great. And now I've got to wait till 2009.
I'm reading Terry Goodkind's Wizard's First Rule.
I don't know why you're reading Terry Goodkind's Wizard's First Rule.
That's a big-ass book, too.
There are 15 of them.
Oh,
or something like
that's
that.
That's why I picked it up. I thought, this guy's written 15 books. It must be pretty good. It's not awful.
Oh, come on. When you read
but it's doing its best to be awful.
when you said it, you said, it makes me want to write so that I don't write crap like this.
Yes, but here's the difference. There are other books that I've actually
Why would
put
you keep
down.
Reading a thick book like that if it's that bad?
Aaron, I mean, just because you don't read anything over 100 pages...
But that, if it's bad,
if it does not come in pamphlet form, Aaron doesn't read it.
For the same reason that I go and see a movie like...
But that's 2 hours.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, whatever. Yeah. Anybody have any links?
You play bad video games. Yeah, I actually have a few links and stuff like that.
I got a link. I'll put it up. It's basically the motivational posters for role players.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. That was fun.
I have links, actually, to some educational stuff and like that that are coming to the Los Angeles area. So if any of our listeners are in the Los Angeles area, they should check out.
And some of them are traveling, so they might travel outside.
Well, Walking with Dinosaurs, which is the Australian show. All over YouTube has real, well, not real.
They're
but
real.
They look as real as possible. You know, full T-Rexes, full Brachiosaurs, full flying.
When's it come?
It's going to be here in LA from the 25th through the 28th of July at the Staples Center.
That's it?
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Not 25th through the 28th of September. Sorry.
I was like, hell.
Oops. Sorry. This is July. I just wrote that too quickly. 25th through 28th of September, but it is only like 8 to 10 shows. It will be in Madison Square Garden. You can go to their website at dinosaursalive.com and check it out. It's fantastic.
How much are the tickets?
The tickets are, well, for the really great tickets in Los Angeles, they're like $79 a piece.
That's not terrible.
No. I bought them today. So
thanks
for calling and letting me know.
Well, I didn't have an extra $180 to be like, you know, hey, you want to come?
All right, keep going.
Anyway, Terracotta Warriors, the Chen Shihuang's tomb Terracotta mm-hmm. Warriors are showing up at the Bowers Museum here in Los Angeles as well.
How many?
150 of them.
Which is like 2%.
Yeah, I mean, it's like tiny, tiny, but it's the most that you will ever see out of the Xi'an tomb.
That's cool.
So you can go by and you can really check out.
Those are the ones that come alive in Mummy 3, right?
Yes, those are the ones that do come alive and Brendan Fraser
so
blows apart.
If you miss it, you can watch it in Mummy 3.
Yes. Yes, you can watch me in Mummy 3 as well.
And he blows them apart.
And he blows them apart.
Nice.
He does. The Human Heart exhibit is at the Los Angeles Science Center with a guy who has those Chinese dead bodies that he's, you know, pulled apart and mummified, basically.
Oh, God.
And you can see them, like, full-on doing crazy things. I'm going to go to that exhibit. That's supposedly lots of real dead bodies.
You're talking about the where he plasticizes.
He plasticizes.
I think it was in James Bond.
Yes.
Yeah, the last James Bond movie.
Yeah, he plasticizes dead bodies.
My links, one is called Purple Pawn. The PurplePawn.com is a games website where they talk about board games, video games, any type of gaming. And they've got some pretty fun news on there. So I check that all the time. The other one is BoardGameGeek.com that most of you know.
Mm-hmm.
BoardGameGeek.com.
We've linked to that before.
The biggest online gaming resource. But I also have an account there. It's Moriarty, spelled with a zero. And I keep track of the games now that I have. And I'm trying to make comments. After we play a game, I'll put a little comment on them so you can keep track of the games that I have and maybe some little, and also you can see that stuff on, well, anyway, yeah, that's the best place to see it. So
yep.
Anyway, and the other one is uncrate.com. A lot of you may know about this place, but it's a whole bunch of geeky gadgets and gifts and just crazy stuff, and they've got some hilarious things that come up every day, so always check uncrate.com every day.
Cool.
Alrighty.
Finally, Tim Flatch Photography. I'll send a link to it. He is just one of the coolest photographers that I've seen in a very, very long time. And since my wife and I have been getting out to art shows, he's just awesome. So I'll put a link to him.
Cool. Well, 2 hour show. Where
two
we talk
hour
about nothing.
Show.
Perfect.
About nothing. This is the Seinfeld show.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Hope you all have a good geek week. And let's go play some board games or something.
Excellent. Rock it out.
Cool. Bye.
Geek it out.